Eventually, the car business was not interesting to you.
It was interesting. The car business was interesting, but with four families on over 500,000 acres of land, and there was a Ford dealer in Skytook, Hominy, Fairfax, Bill Dungis in Bartlesville, Jack Bowker in Ponca City. There were too many Ford dealers and not enough people. And like any business, you got to have volume to make money. And new cars didn't sell very well. And pickups were starting to sell like they are today. But one thing that did sell at that time was the Mustang, but I couldn't get enough Mustangs. I could sell Mustangs all the time, but they were allocated because they were so popular.
So this was like 64, 5?
64, 65. So the factory rep would come around once a month and we'd work up the orders, and he'd say, well, I can get you a Mustang or two, but you need to buy a Falcon or a Fairlane. So I'd say, okay, I need the Mustangs. Well, my floor plan was $100,000. All of a sudden, I had a lot of new Falcons and Fairlanes sitting out on the lot that I couldn't sell. They just weren't turning. I'd gone over to Ponca City to pick up a car from Jack Bowker, and Gail called and said that CIT was there checking my floor plan. I had all these cars that weren't selling, plus there was a couple they couldn't find. Well, those were company cars, so Gail was real upset. She was working in the office at that time, and I got back over there, and I explained that where the cars were and everything, so everything was fine, but she was scared to death, thought we were out of trust. So I knew that I had to do something else, that we would never make enough money living in Pawhuska, although it was a very interesting town. The two banks in town were ranching banks, and they didn't like to loan money on cars. And there were two small finance companies. One was out of Kansas City, and they did the consumer loans and everything, and they did very well in Pawhuska. My next door neighbor, Eddie King, was the Cadillac dealer, and the wives of all the ranchers drove Cadillacs, but was the smallest Cadillac dealership in the United States. There was only 5,000 people in Pawhuska.
And how many could afford a Cadillac?
The ranchers.
Right.
There wasn't any middle class or lunch bucket trade in Pawhuska in those days. There was, in the oil business, the water flooding had gone downhill. I asked the principal of the high school what were their plans down the road for more students and more teachers, and he said, I haven't got any plans. We're not growing.
Okay, so you gave up the car dealership.
Well, Gail and I were trying to figure out what are we going to do, so I knew for 2 or 3 years, I decided we better have an exit plan, get out of the car business. Well, one day, Cab Rennick, who was an all-American basketball player, and he had a liquor store in Bartlesville, and we became very good friends, and Cab started a new venture called Hometown Stamps, and he came over to Pawhuska and asked me if I would give away Hometown Stamps when I sold a new or used vehicle. And they were like S&H green stamps where you'd paste them in the books for gifts. And I said, yes, I would do it. And he mentioned that the Budweiser distributorship was for sale in Bartlesville, which included the Pawhuska territory. I didn't think a whole lot about it at the time, the first time he said it, because I'd been in the liquor business and with National, and a case of liquor might cost $75, $85, where a case of beer was under $5. So there wasn't the romance to me at beer like there was in liquor, or say wines and champagne. But one day, Frederick Drummond brought his pickup in to get it serviced, and I was telling him that the Budweiser distributorship was for sale over in Bartlesville, and he said, well, I've got a fraternity brother from OSU, David McMahon, in Fort Smith, is a cattle rancher and also a Budweiser distributor. So we called over to Fort Smith and talked to David, and he said, oh, it's a good business if you got enough volume. Well, Back in those days, everybody wanted to be a Coors wholesaler, and this is in 68, and Coors was just going like gangbusters, and they had 50% share of market in the state. And I thought, well, they can't grow much more, because when I worked for National Distillers, we had 50% of the gin business during the bootleg days, because Gilby's gin was in square bottles, and they could tape three bottles together real easy, and they called them a lug in those days. And people would buy lugs of liquor three at a time and get a discount. So thinking that Coors couldn't do much more gaining share of market, why, Frederick and I went to Tulsa and talked to Jack and Dick Bryan, who were the Budweiser wholesalers in Tulsa. And they were third-generation wholesalers. And so we decided that we'd try to buy the Bud distributorship over in Bartlesville, and it was a one-man, one-truck operation. And Tuck Hayes owned it, and he had been the driver, and the owner had died, and he ended up with the business. And he'd come over to Pawhuska every Wednesday and talk to him about buying them out. Eventually, April of 68, why, we finally made a deal with him, and we bought it for $20,000.
Did that seem like a lot of money to you, or not much money then?
Well, it was a lot. And then we borrowed $20,000 from the Union Bank, and Frederick put in $3,000 cash, and I had a used Ford truck that was worth $3,000. So my investment was the $3,000 used truck.
That's funny. I don't care who you are.
So every wholesaler in the state was struggling except Coors. And it wasn't until 1975 that Coors peaked out with 70% share of market with just the Coors Banquet brand. Coors Light didn't exist back in those days. We'd go to the brewery meetings and they'd say, well, you just got to, you know, run your business like you should run it. And when we bought the distributorship, I think we took over in the end of April, first part of May, why, there was no beer in the warehouse. The brewery was on strike. Well, we had just gone through a Ford strike for 3 months, didn't have any cars to sell. And Gail said, now why are we going into this business when we got the problem again with the unions? It was 30 days before we first got our truckload of beer in June, and we were able to kind of allocate it around and to the retailers in Bartlesville and Pawhuska. But what was interesting, back in 68, the Teamsters had the contracts, and there was a separate contract for each Budweiser brewery, and the contracts would expire in February, but the union would keep working until closer to summertime, and they were able to go on strike then in April, March, end of March, 1st of April, which was made it harder for Anheuser-Busch. And if they would settle at one brewery in those days, they would cross picket. And for instance, if they settled in St. Louis, then they would send some Teamsters up from Houston to picket. And they did this all over the country. So eventually, Anheuser-Busch was able to get into a 3-year contract, and they couldn't cross picket from brewery to brewery. And the last strike was in 1975. And at that time, Gussie Bush's son, August III, said that they couldn't afford to let their wholesalers run out of beer like the past. So he kept the breweries open, and he took the employees, and other than the brewmasters, to do the work. And Lou Morrill, the factory rep in Tulsa, who's now the wholesaler in Muskogee, McAllister, Lou was sent to Jacksonville, and he worked cleaning out the Beechwood chips from the aging tanks. He got paid his normal salesman's salary plus a brewery worker's salary. So during this strike, all the employees were making a lot of extra money. And by this time, we had one semi, and our semi driver would go from Bartlesville up to St. Louis to get a truckload of beer, and he got up there during the strike, and the only thing they were producing was 12-ounce cans, and they had women secretaries down on the loading dock, and these women were driving the forklifts, and they were loading the trucks faster than the Teamsters would load. And Gussie Bush was down on the dock thanking people for coming in and, you know, during the strike and picking up the beer and everything. But that was the last time they had a strike.